Hi guys, my name is John. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for an addiction to pornography, dishonesty, and a strong fear of man. Hey guys, pray with me. Father, thank you for the people here tonight. Help my words be clear and help those to hear my story be heard as just another example of your grace and your never-ending love and pursuit of us. Life was relatively normal for me growing up. I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania where I had parents that were very involved in my life and active members of our local church. I was the youngest of three with an older sister and a brother. I had a privilege to go to a small private Christian school where I learned the difference between what was right and what was wrong. I learned what a Christian was supposed to look like and act like. However, I wouldn't understand the relationship aspect until much later in life. I was relatively sheltered as a young child. Growing up, what I learned about sin was a distorted view. I felt like if I sinned, then I was not a good person and I would be going to hell. I felt like if I told a lie or if I took something that was not mine in that action, I was no longer a Christian. I can recall hearing sermons about before coming to Christ, if you were a sinner, you were once saved, you are set free. This phrase became something that I would struggle to understand the majority of my life. As a child, I can remember asking God to forgive me of my sins and would ask him to come into my heart on a daily basis. I remember times going to bed with a fear that God was mad at me and I didn't truly have him in my heart since I did the things earlier in the day that I knew were not right. This distorted view of God and sin really took a turning point one summer when I was 8 years old. That summer, I was asked by my aunt and uncle to take care of their house while they went off for vacation. One day, while at their house, I went into my older cousin's room and found an adult magazine. This was the first time I was exposed to pornography. I was alone in the house with nowhere to be. I could vividly remember knowing what I was looking at was wrong and that I should run. However, I didn't. Satan sold me on the lie that this was something good and that it was okay. This day marked the beginning of a life filled with hidden desires, an endless game of shame, regret, dishonesty, and a life so intentionally and deliberately hidden from God and my family. Despite my sinful desires, I could continue to come back to that phrase, once I give my life to God, I would turn away from sin. I would be washed clean and I would be restored. I thought that restoration meant I would no longer have the desire to sin. If I truly was set free, I wouldn't have the desire to keep on sinning, and I could not figure out what I was doing wrong. I remember I was in my early teens when my parents purchased their first computer. I quickly learned what the internet had to offer. I also quickly learned what computer viruses were. One time, whatever I got into, it literally locked down the computer, and it said I needed to pay a whole lot of money or else I would be found out. Along with the message, they put on images of this on the screen, and despite how hard I tried, they would not go away. I can remember the sheer panic and terror. I didn't see it at the time. However, I know now that this was God giving me a way out. Here was my chance to come clean, admit my sin, bring it to the light, confess my sin, and become fully known. But I just couldn't do it. I chose to lie and deceive my parents. My struggle really exploded when I hit college. Now, instead of trying to hide internet access from my family on a computer that was located in our living room, I now had an isolated dorm room. I literally had 100% uninterrupted internet access to whatever my heart desires almost any time. I still lived the double life. I still went to church, still prayed almost every night for God to come into my heart. I can remember hearing a sermon while at college about pornography and how it could mess up my future marriage. I can remember thinking that this guy was nuts. I truly believed that once I got married, I wouldn't need porn anymore and it would just be in the past. Again, I really fell into Satan's lies and deceptions. After college, life started to spin out of control. My fiance called off our wedding and my plan for my future job evaporated. I began to turn farther and farther away from Christ and seeking more things the world had to offer. During this darkest time of my life, somehow through God's plan, he allowed me to meet my future wife, Sean. Only through God's perfect plan and his never-ending grace, he allowed us to stay together and get married. Though Shawn knew about my struggle, I never allowed her to see the extent of my issue. She believed this was recreational use only, and now that we were together, I would certainly stop. I believed 100% in my heart that now that we were married, I would totally stop. I didn't need pornography any longer. I could close that chapter of my life and start a new chapter free from the guilt of shame. Unfortunately, that is not how my story played out. I wasn't freed. I continued to seek out lust and build higher walls to contain my guilt and shame. As the years began to pass, there was times I would get caught. I began to get very good at deception. I can remember my wife asking me one time what it was about the images I was looking at that caused me to seek them over her. This was the first time where I really understood my sin had lasting consequences that would affect not only me, but others around me. My actions were beginning to inflict pain on someone that I loved with all my heart. This eye-opening experience, though, wasn't enough to overcome my addiction. Despite my all-out love for my wife, it wasn't enough to break the chain of sin. Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." This awareness now drove my shame and guilt into the darkest pits of my soul. Every time I would fail, I would give in to temptation, I would think of my wife's disappointment in me. Not only was I failing God, but I was now failing my wife and our kids. This issue I have struggled with since I was young was now a full-blown addiction. I began to really see myself as an unlovable monster. Sure, I knew how to throw on the happy face and make my family and the world think I was okay, but on the inside, I was internally at war. I began to see myself as a disgrace to this family. I began to think my wife was better off without me. Despite knowing I was hurting my wife over and over, I continued to give in to my desires. This all took a turning point on one of the first Sundays that my wife and I attended Watermark Plano. I can remember like it was yesterday. We were watching this pastor on the screen. Within the first 10 minutes of the sermon, he spoke about how he too used to be addicted to pornography. He spoke how he used to look at it every single day. As the words that were coming out of his mouth, my wife's elbow went straight into my side. I looked over and I could see the tears rolling down her cheek. As he spoke, he talked about how God was able to use his addiction to pornography to convey to others God's story of grace in his life. He's no longer ashamed. He was talking openly about his sin struggle and how God is using his story for good. I thought, what kind of church is this? Pastors are not supposed to talk about their sin struggles in front of the church. I can remember my wife leaning over to me and saying that one day God is going to use my story. God is going to take all that darkness, shame, guilt, and turn it into a story of light, love, and grace. She told me that one day God was going to use me. Yeah, sure, it made me feel good. However, I thought there was no way God could bring good out of what I have done to her. It just wasn't possible. I first heard about Regen after Jeff Parker gave a sermon about confessing the 1%. He challenged the congregation that when confessing sin, don't just confess the 99%, but be sure to be fully known. Whatever that 1% you're holding on to is, bring it to the light. A few weeks after this sermon, I came clean with my wife and met with Jeff, and he encouraged me to begin Regen. I didn't really know what to expect when I first came to Regen. However, I was seeking a quick, permanent fix. I thought I would be able to come to this program, learn some key pointers, then I'd be fixed. I was looking for this magic pill that was going to heal me from ever being tempted again. What I quickly learned was that was not going to be the case, but Regen was so much more than that. Regen began to help me understand the why behind my temptation and also where my triggers are so that I can be more prepared and avoid those areas. I learned how to set up boundaries with the internet and help me get past the "I'm a man, I don't need anyone's help" mentality. I learned once I got into a closed group, though, that I wasn't there just for me, but I was also there for them. I started Regen to get myself fixed, but here I am now with a small group of men, and they are asking me to pray for them and help hold them accountable. Wait, I thought this was all going to be about me and getting myself right. God began to open my eyes and show me that I was not alone, and despite my sin struggle, God could still use me to help others. This was a major turning point in my walk with Christ. Despite all my guilt, shame, and fears, God could still use me. God could take my years of darkness and use those to bring life to someone else. Regen also began to open my eyes to other areas of my life that needed to be addressed. As I worked through the steps, I began to see that with a many-year struggle with an addiction to pornography, I also learned how to deceive others. I became an information manager. I was always worried about my phone and what people thought of me, about me. I didn't want anyone to not like me, so I worked hard to be the fun, likable guy. In step four, inventory, I started to uncover these areas and some other implications of my addiction. As I walked through the steps, I kept a small journal that I would try to do every day. As I was thinking about what I was going to say tonight, I pulled that journal out and read some of the first entries and then a few of the last. It was encouraging to see the progression. The first few entries all started with, God, please help me. Take this struggle away from me. God, please help me to stop failing. And the last few read, Father, thank you for the blessings you give me each day. And thank you for my family. Lord, open a door today where I can show your love to someone else. What I have learned through this process at Regen is that we are not striving for perfection, but we are working towards progression and pursuing a relationship with our Father. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Journalist George Will once said, the pursuit of perfection often impedes improvement. If all we do is seek to not sin, we will fail. It took me almost 25 years to understand this. One of my favorite steps throughout the Regen process probably had to be amends. As I was working my book in the steps, someone stood out to me that came up in my step four, harms by me. God laid it on my heart to seek forgiveness and to make amends with my parents. I can remember thinking, all right, God, we are taking this way too far. The last thing a son wants to do is to go to his parents and tell them he struggled with pornography and basically was not the person they thought he was, and that he was currently going through a 12-step program for an addiction to pornography. Well, needless to say, God just swung the door wide open one day while I was home visiting them. We had a one-hour car ride together, and God stirred me that this was it. Here was my chance to be known. Despite my fear of what my parents might say, it was a non-event. My parents expressed how happy they were for me, and they were proud of me. Wait, what? I just explained to them how I lied to them for over 25 years and I was not the person they thought I was. And their response was they were proud of me and they loved me. Wow, can I just say God is good? Though I never found that quick fix I was looking for at Regen, I can say today I found so much more. I found out about the relationship Christ desires with us, and life is not a scoreboard of what I did versus what I did wrong. I learned that I'm going to continue to sin and I'm going to fall short, and those mistakes do not cancel out my salvation. The real change now is what I do after I sin. Since going through Regen, I've been able to make amends with my wife for the hurts I've caused and set up new boundaries to help keep my heart in check. I no longer am afraid or paranoid if she picks up my phone. I do not have to work to manage information or look for ways to hide or conceal my actions. Can I just say what a relief and a freedom there is in Christ in being known? Our relationship has grown to a whole new level, not because of what I did, but because of what Christ is doing in our lives. Since Regen, I am also learning how to be the spiritual leader of my home. I make it a point to not leave the house in the morning until the whole family gathers together for prayer. My wife and I are learning how to teach our children to not pursue this world, but how to pursue Christ first and to love others before themselves. Still today, it's easy for me to dwell on fear and what an outcome might be. I can work myself up with feelings of being inadequate and not good enough because I often forget God has this. This life or whatever small inconvenience that I'm worrying about is not too big for the creator of the world. Over the past few months, through God's divine goodness, I've had the opportunity to co-lead a closed group. I've been able to share with other men about my past and, more importantly, what Christ has done in me. I'm beginning to learn truly what Galatians 5:13 means. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The Father and the Creator of this world has my back. I can remember hearing someone at Watermark sharing an example about Jesus. They shared how they imagined Jesus in heaven today. He pictured him waiting up in heaven for us, but he's not sitting idle. No, Jesus is standing up on his throne, shouting at the top of his lungs that he loves me, and he has my back. He's yelling, he is shouting for me to not be afraid, that he will never leave me. He's right there with me, and he loves me. If you are here tonight for the first time, I want to say welcome. It is not by accident you are here. Christ has a plan for your life, and he is seeking you. He is pursuing you wherever you are at. Whatever you're struggling with, you are not alone. I will leave you with one of the first verses that I memorized starting Regen that really helped me through my struggle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. My name is John. I have a new life in Christ. And because I know that, I am finding freedom from an addiction to pornography, dishonesty, and fear of man. Thanks for letting me share.